Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Did you guys know that Howie personally gave birth to two children since we last recorded?
I did. They came
Howie
out of
did.
Yeah, really? Howie did.
Oh, it came was right me. Out of his butt.
It was a real mess. Yeah, he wishes it came out of it. They came out of his butt.
That's how that works, right?
No, I'm happy how it went down.
Because if it had come up, it'd have been way worse.
All the way down. Drop the kids off the pool.
Oh, hey, congratulations,
thank
Howie.
You so much. Yes. Yeah, it's an exciting time.
Is it congratulations, really?
Is it congratulations or condolences?
If it would have been Tuesday night, you'd have said that, I would have been like, oh, screw you guys, but Tuesday night was rough. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Tuesday night was rough?
Tuesday night was rough.
Playing Counter-Strike was rough with...
Yeah, when he got home, it was rough.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah, no, well if anything, Counter-Strike was awesome. To podcast.
That's right. Counter-Strike was awesome. Coming home and then not, you know, babies up from 2 to 6, you know, in the morning was just fun.
Right, right. Are you actually having to do any of the bottle feedings, or is your wife still, you know?
I am breastfeeding.
Yeah, is your wife still serving directly from the tap?
Well, actually, what we found after Tuesday night, it seems that, you know, just strictly breastfeeding is the issue.
Oh, really?
Having two of them, I don't know if they're getting enough or whatever.
You
kinda, so.
Yeah, you gotta. What you do is you gotta hold one up to each one, and then have their legs sticking out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, so that she's got their heads in her hands. This is
football.
Yeah.
This
football.
Is science. Yeah. The football carry.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. So we started supplementing with some bottles, and that seems to help.
Yeah. We should write a book called Rearing Twins According to Dudes.
Yes. Yeah. And Star Wars.
Yeah. Dudes who like Star Wars.
Oh. There are twins in Star Wars.
Yeah. See, we're authorities.
Full circle.
Yep. Absolutely. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 6.
Yay.
Of Fly Casual.
Finally.
We have made it at 6.
I know. We've busted the first 5.
It's really the equivalent of 12, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's new math.
Yes.
Yeah.
9, 12. Wait, what? Episode
of base 3. I'm out of my element. But you know where I'm not out of my element? Talking about Star Wars, which is why you've joined us. If you've joined us for any other reason, I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully we can win you over. But, hey, welcome anyway. I'm your host, Corey T. Wilson, joined remotely by Mr. Michael J. Archibald. How you doing, sir?
Hello, Corey T. How are you?
Lovely. I'm just swimming. I'm really excited about tonight's episode.
Me too.
Why are you really excited?
I'll get to that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I will never introduce you people if you start baiting me with that stuff. My word, the person who's trying to trip me up over here at Master Control, Stephen J. Howie.
Hello.
And, of course, live from across the state is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Howdy, y'all.
I'm going to keep saying that until people actually start thinking your middle name is not Jay. Like you're like you're of Indian descent or something.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, not Jay. That's like San Jay, right? That's similar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how you doing down
from
there?
From my mother's side.
You look it. You can tell from the red sideburns and the pale complexion of all of your Eastern descent. Hey guys, are you excited about tonight's episode?
Hey, I'm excited.
I'm pumped.
Why are you excited?
I'm excited because tonight, in lieu of, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about some of the silly, goofy crap that we do, and we're not going to cease to be silly and goofy, guaranteed. Tonight, we're actually making time for a legitimate interview.
Is it
going to be legitimate?
It will be legitimate, and I'll tell you why, because we are interviewing none other than Amy Ratcliffe, writer for Star Wars Insider and the official StarWars.com blog. Amongst a plethora of other wonderful nerdy things that I consume regularly.
Now, wait a minute. How the heck did we get someone of this quality on our show?
She must never have listened. That's the only way I can think. But you know what? From the conversations that we've had back and forth so far, I think she's going to fit in real well as long as we're on our best page.
So,
Yeah, I may have to turn my mic
back up.
Dang it.
Yeah. You're not riding this one bareback.
Oh God!
But anyhow, hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Let's not waste any time. I don't have any music queued up, so let's just do this one raw.
We're just going to do it raw. We're doing it raw.
Yeah, we're doing it raw.
Woo-hoo! I'm
trying to channel a little. You know the guy.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. He's on Fox News. I don't remember anyone's names anymore. Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Remember what? Well, we're doing it live or whatever. Remember that old clip where he's like cursing and taking interns and snapping their heads off or twisting their necks?
We might have to put Bill O'Reilly as the post image.
Kicking over water coolers.
There you go.
You know that guy. Hey, so let's jump. Let's do it. Let's jump straight into news.
All right.
Hey,
Harrison Ford update, right? That's why
everybody.
We should rename our podcast the Harrison Ford update.
Yeah, the Ford update, right? And suddenly, all these car enthusiasts are going, I don't understand. They don't even talk about. They don't talk.
Well,
about
you know,
Cobra.
The funny thing is Harrison Ford's leg, ankle, whatever, now has got its own Twitter account and Facebook, you know, Facebook site and everything else. So
no, that's not even interesting to me. I want to read the Twitter account of his leg cane thing. I want to know that perspective. Yeah. Like, can I get a little sponge down here? Can I get a little wipe down? That's what
Corey
I want to know.
Actually, he is no longer on that thing, if you can believe it. Have you guys seen the pictures? We posted some pictures on the Twitter and the Facebook page, and yeah, looks like nothing ever happened, man. I mean, he's up and around. And
Earth, can that be true? He's 162 years old.
Unbelievable. But yeah, he was at the Expendables 3 premiere this past week.
Really?
They got pictures of him there. He's gallivanting around California and flying back out to UK.
Piloting his own plane everywhere he goes.
Stopping off at Fort Wayne.
We can't even. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
He'd love to stop here. That's what we love to tell ourselves.
He actually does.
Yeah, no.
There's a place here in Fort Wayne called Club Soda, and they've got a martini named after him because he famously is a pilot, and we've got an airport here, and so I guess he makes a stop. Yeah, he makes stops once in a while. So
you got to get fuel somewhere.
Yeah, so, exactly.
When you're going from coast to coast, why dip down south?
We can't even say Harrison Ford is on the mend anymore because he's done. I mean, he's healed. He's back up, man.
That dude must
Wolverine
be like
style.
Seriously wolfing down style. An entire bottle Snicked. Of Flintstones vitamins every night.
I mean, the guy's 72 years old, man.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we're lucky. We're lucky. I'm the billionth person to say it. We're lucky he didn't break a hip.
Seriously.
And yet he breaks his leg in 38 places and gets run over by a car on the way out to the ambulance, and then the airlift crashes and he's up and walking around like nothing went wrong.
Yeah, nothing happened, man. Yep.
Hey, healthy lifestyle.
Exactly.
Healthy lifestyle.
So Harrison Ford, no longer on the mend. He's done, man. They're ready to rock and roll.
He's no longer on the mend. He's done. Burial's a week from today. He's decided not to heal. They've taken his leg off the leg ventilator.
The iron leg lung?
Yeah, the iron leg lung, exactly. The ILL, that's true. You can't stay on
it's
it forever.
It's a thing, I know.
Look it up, gentlemen.
All right, speaking of pictures on the internet, those kind of pictures, Howie. Those kind of pictures.
Pull them up. You guys can't see them. I can.
Are you guys looking cats again?
Yes, that's it.
I never stopped.
The Force for Change contest has come to an end, and they've announced their winner.
The Force
winner.
For Change being the contest where you could donate money for this charity, and it made you eligible to be selected as having a cameo walk-on appearance in Episode 7.
Ooh, did I win? Right. Was it me?
I'm sure it was.
It's you, Eric, as long as your name is DC Barnes and you live in Denver.
Oh, it can be.
Is it? I was going to say.
So, congratulations to Mr. Barnes.
Congratulations.
I guess it could be Ms. or Mrs.
It's a Mr. Really, he totally needs to own a circus.
I'm so happy. I'm so DC happy Barnes. For him. Yeah. I am incredibly happy for this guy.
Yeah, not jealous.
Well, anyway, first off, they raised somewhere between $4 and $5 million for UNICEF, so that's great.
That's what it's all about, really.
Right. So
it's all about Star Wars.
Good vibes there. But, of course, in classic J.J. Abrams style, he chose to announce the winner in a specific way, and that way was to take to Twitter through his bad robot Twitter account, and they kind of did a little tease with the announcement. And that, have you guys seen the picture? You guys know what I'm talking about here?
I do.
The tease is a little robotic hand of sorts holding the little piece of paper that JJ scratched the winner's name on. So the robotic hand, of course, is the tease here. And, you know, whose robotic hand is it?
So
is
now
it?
We know it's the robotic hand that's spinning through space during the opening
I'll say something about JJ. He's got an amazing handwriting.
You like that?
That's pretty cool. Goodness.
Does he dot his eyes with hearts? Because if he doesn't, I don't care.
He has a little smiley face at the end.
Oh, man.
Smiley face, JJ. Heart.
Ooh, yeah. There we go.
Guys, come on. He has an intern, strictly a handwriting intern. You know, he said, JJ, write this
follows him around, right?
Absolutely. And just hands it immediately to some, you know, 22-year-old girl who's like, you know, hasn't showered in 2 weeks and her clothes are falling off of her. She's amazing.
Why?
Wouldn't you?
You make a valid point.
Yeah.
Touché.
Exactly.
So anyway, everybody theorized. I mean, it's the same hand that would match up with Luke Skywalker's from when he was chopped off in Empire Strikes Back, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's kind of the conventional wisdom is that they're teasing that. So
yeah, course, I read this guy is
wrong and be somebody else, but
I read that this guy is a colorist, and I was like, oh, really? Someone in the industry? That's not cool. And then I read in Denver, and I was like, oh, well, that's just ironic, I guess. Was he selected at random? How did they end up doing it? Did they actually?
I didn't get in on the contest, so I
you don't have the algorithm written out for us right now, Mike.
Disappointed. From what I understand, if I'm remembering this right, I think as long as you donated something, you became part of a pool.
Right. It was kind of like a Kickstarter a little bit, they went to charity.
Yeah, you got an entry for every dollar you put in.
Yeah. Something like that.
DC Barnes. I hope he at least does carnival barking.
Detective
on the side.
Comics Barnes.
Wow, what a great name. What else you got for us today, Mike?
All right. Next one we had new comic series. And I think we touched on this maybe last time. It's the new Quinlan Vos series that's been announced. Mm. And I hadn't seen it, so this is why I put it up on the site. But I think Garrick had mentioned that something about Ventress being part of this series, and she's actually depicted Ventress. On the cover, and she's actually got hair and looks as wicked as ever. So
real quick, just for some of our listeners who maybe not be as hardcore into anything outside of the movies or even really a good portion of the EU, who aren't familiar with Quinlan Vos. So just a quick review. What movie was he supposed to be in? Was it 2 or 3?
It was three, I believe. He was actually mentioned in 3.
Yeah,
right?
He was mentioned very briefly, and he was actually supposed to have a small part in it, but it was cut. But the style that they developed for this character, people really latched onto, and so he's had a much bigger presence in the EU, the comic the books comic. And things like
right,
that.
Right, I was going to say, he's had his comics. Own comic series. And
he's
he was
a Jedi
paired with,
master.
Right, and he was paired with... the Blue Twilight. What's her name? I can't think of the name.
Aayla Secura.
Yeah, Aayla Secura. I think they were paired in some series. So
I believe is a Kiffar too. Which
yes,
I think,
he is
don't
Kiffar.
Think, yeah, which they can hold an object and sense where it's been or something like
right. And that actually ended up pulling from that quite a bit in one of our Star Wars role playing campaigns, and taking advantage of Quinlan Vos's backstory and. Weaving a tall tale, but you know, hey,
he's just like so cool looking. I think,
it's because he's got dreadlocks. Everybody with dreadlocks is cool looking.
He's got the little Nelly tape on it. Is that Nelly? His little Nelly tape on his face,
right?
Little,
yeah.
I think in the Clone Wars series, he's kind of depicted as it was almost a Native American look a little bit too.
Yeah, he kind of had you had dreadlocks, but he had kind of like kind of that dark gold complexion, a little bit of face paint. Yeah.
Menacing.
I do kind of like Quinlan Vos, but it's true. Dreadlocks, man. Dreadlocks just make you look likable and menacing and likable at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that is. Like, you know, like Devin Hester. Interested. Devin Hester run. This is a sports reference, everyone. Can you?
Oh, no.
I know. I'm going to ask you to stretch out your minds. You know, Devin Hester, who no longer plays for the Bears, sadly, but when he did and he had those dreads, you see him out on the field, he's like, oh, he's just a little guy. And then he takes off the helmet and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna mess with Devin Hester. I love him. I'm not going to mess with him. Yeah, just, you know, but that's what I wanted to have dreadlocks, man. Even, I can't remember the name of the movie, but John Favreau. Oh, what was the name of the movie? It was a PCU.
Oh,
you guys remember that film?
Movie. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, John Favreau had short dreads in that movie. John Favreau. You know, if you don't know who John Favreau is, he's a famous director, directed Iron Man 1 and 2. He's Rhodey, or not Rhodey, Happy in the Iron Man films. He's the chauffeur. He with dreadlocks. And like played a complete dumb burnout of a dude, looked lovable and kind of menacing. John Favreau, if he can do it, I should be able to do it. Yeah. That's my theory. I need the menacing really
well,
bad.
Well, the cool thing about this series, though, is from my understanding, is that they're going to try to take some of the stories that weren't fleshed out with the Clone Wars series. So maybe we'll get some closure with some of those characters and get to see a more Asajj Ventress, because obviously her character was kind of left open-ended at the end of that series. So.
She garnered a lot of fans very early on, even in the Jendi Tartakovsky 2D Clone Wars series.
In the 2D one, she actually was killed at the end of that series by Anakin.
Yeah.
So, but...
Or was she?
Yeah, dun, or dun, dun, dun. Dun. So anyway, it'd be kind of cool to see some of those stories fleshed out.
Right. So, Mike, I got to ask you, is Superman going to be in episode 7?
Dude, yeah, okay.
Don't beat around the bush. Just tell it to me straight.
No, Superman is not going to be in there.
Oh,
and guess what, JJ? JJ is not as classy as we thought.
No, I disagree. I'm going to take you to task on that one.
I think he responded
in the exact right way, because while all the fanboys see this Superman Jedi pic that Zack Snyder puts out on Twitter, and they get all a Twitter, if you will, about it in the most stupid way. Like, guys, you're being trolled by so out in the open, you're being trolled and you can't help but love it. I think J.J. Abrams did the perfect thing, which is, yeah, well, look what I can do.
Yeah.
Well, this is pretty stupid too.
right. And to back up for everybody and let you know what we're talking about some Twitter wars, I guess, that are going on. A few weeks ago, Zack Snyder tweeted out the aforementioned picture here of Superman, Henry Cavill in a Jedi robe, and our last podcast, me personally was perplexed by that. I'm like, well, what's this going on? This is stupid.
Yeah.
And we kind of had made the passing comment that, oh, JJ doesn't engage in this. He's classier than that. So what happens over the last couple weeks?
The best thing happened. Which is C-3PO perched on a ledge in Gotham City with a giant cape dragging behind him. And I'm like, because that's the thing. He didn't put Luke up there. He didn't throw Vader, who was like an easy Batman analog, up there.
Yeah, right.
No, he put 3PO, the prissiest and, you know, and absolutely non-actionist character. I mean, even R2's got jump jets, okay? All 3PO can do is whine and stay
odd
and speak fluently in over 6 million forms of communication. But that's the guy he throws. That's why I think it's brain. It's like, all right, you're going to throw Superman?
Now, there's a little bit of...
Have some gold.
There's a little bit of saving grace here for JJ, because actually it wasn't... Zack Snyder has his own Twitter account, so we know it's him. But but JJ actually doesn't have a Twitter account. It's his Bad Robot account, which is his production company.
Right.
So it actually... It probably was not... And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't JJ that
I don't imagine that JJ is sitting there and photoshopping. It's like, you know, I need to find a 3PO from just the right angle.
It's actually, whoever's running his Twitter account.
Get the marionette out from episode 1 and slap a face mask on it. We got to get the perfect angle because I've got this great Batman shot to work him in. No, I don't think... I think it was literally he went over, you know, to that emaciated handwriting intern and said, hey, does your boyfriend still do Photoshop work? That's how I think that went down, you know.
So a lot of the geeks enjoying some of the banter back and forth. I'm kind of like rolling my eyes at it, but hey, whatever turns people on. So I guess a little bit of fun on Twitter never hurt nobody.
If it did, we'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Have you guys seen the 7-minute preview of the 3D animated series Star Wars Rebels? Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that yet?
Oh.
I know I have. I
no
know
one
has.
Said yes.
I know
no
Garrick
one
has.
Said yes.
No, Garrick has. I that's a given. The question really is for Howie and Corey, because you guys are the ones that, you
know. I'm the one that, yeah, during the day I have no ability to watch anything.
I've seen a link to it.
Well, and since you guys have not seen
I did actually start watching it, and it was late at night, and I was in the bathroom, and I didn't have my earbuds, so I had it turned down so low that I could almost not hear it. And from the other from the adjacent room, my wife lying in bed just goes, "Too loud." So I'm like, okay, I'll watch it later. Sad clown.
Yeah. So let's blame Kathy. Okay, I see.
It's my easy out.
All right. So since you haven't seen it, we're going to highly recommend that you actually go and watch it.
Oh, I plan
and
on it.
What they've done is they've gone out and they posted now the first 7 minutes of the first premiere episode for consumption. And better than I guess what I expected. I think most of us, and Corey has mentioned this before, there wasn't much expectation going into this. I mean, there wasn't really much excitement or whatever. But the more we're getting, the more we're hearing, the more we're seeing. I don't know. The excitement's kind of building a little bit.
All I need is for the right people to whisper in my ears the right things, and I'm getting ready to go whole hog on this one.
Garrick, you've seen it now. So what were your impressions of those 7 minutes that we got to see?
Well, the 7 minutes, it was amazing, but have you seen the 2-minute one?
Is it 2 minutes from the 7 minutes? Because I could probably squeeze that in.
I've seen the trailers and a couple of the clips.
The 7-minute one, and I want people to watch it. I don't want to give it away, but it was amazing. Like, there's TIE fighters, there were speeder bike chases, there's thermal detonators blowing up, there's people getting shot.
All those original sounds, too. I mean,
the TIE fighter roar just coming in.
That was pretty cool.
I got chills.
I did too.
But there's another one that just came out. This is one you guys should watch, the 2-minute one, where it's Hera and Kanan and Chopper on their spaceship.
Of those names, I know that the droid, the astromech, is one of those.
The Twi'lek, the main Jedi guy, the droid. Okay.
Gotcha.
So it's really reminiscent of the escape from the Death Star in Episode 4.
Oh, really?
Where the TIE fighters are chasing him and Kanan has to go into the turbo laser turret.
Yeah.
And shoot him down. Yeah, exactly, and just the banter.
Wait a minute.
The action was good, but the
turbo laser turret. How on earth? What kind of ship are they on that can generate enough power for a turbo laser?
It's a Corellian engineered model ship. I'm not sure what the model number is.
But like a turbo laser. I mean, a quad laser, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I say turbo? I meant quad laser.
Yeah. I'm punching your card.
Maybe it was a dual laser. I'm not sure. But yeah, just the banter between those two and the little droid. You can't understand a word he says. It's kind of like Groot in the, Guardians of the Galaxy movie. You only understand says, through,
you know,
or I guess
I
to put
Chopper.
It more into Star Wars, Chewie or R2-D2.
Right.
You can't understand them except through how people respond to them.
Right.
But it's just hilarious. Just the dialogue. And then there's the action, of course, with them shooting TIE fighters out of space.
That's always fun.
But at the end, I had a huge smile on my face. I'm like, that was pretty good. It was pretty funny.
I want to get excited, but I'm nervous.
The 7-minute clip was really good. Really, really good.
Yeah. Cool.
You got a lot of interesting little tidbits into each character. And I think it's going to be a winner.
Couple things I noted from it. People were kind of, wondering what to expect coming into it. Is this ragtag group going to all meet each other? You know, how was that? And it looked like actually the majority of the group is already kind of they kind of know each other. They're already a cohesive unit.
That kind of makes me happy. That makes me happy. I don't need an origin story for everybody.
Right.
I mean,
if you want
me to follow one character's story from beginning to end, that's fine. I don't need to see how everybody meets each other if you already have that that chemistry going, then it's easier for me to latch on to that while then also exploring like maybe one character to a deeper degree.
And then exactly. He relegated that to the New Dawn book, the probably the origin story of how they probably got together.
I'm going to have to read that.
Yeah. It sounds awesome. And that's awesome. Great.
And I like that approach. I mean, yeah, put that part of it in a book. You know, let's start the series. Like, you know, like I said, I mean, you got to assume that at the end of this series, I mean, it's, you know, by all accounts, this is going to tie in and show how the, you know, the birth of the rebellion and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, you might as well start right there. You know, this is a cohesive group and, you know, the introduction of the character Ezra, I think is what the 7-minute clip was about. They kind of get a taste of each other for the first time. So
cool.
So yeah, it very interesting. And I'm starting to really look forward and some heady things, type, you know, this isn't, you know,
this ain't your grandbaby Star Wars.
it is and it isn't. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see how they take this, because, you know, Star Wars has always been that balance of, you know, some subjects that are, you know, an evil empire oppressing people versus, you know, the humorous banter between the characters.
And incest.
And incest, yes, right, yes, yes. Of course. But just in this first 7 minutes of this, I mean, there's, you know, there's some people getting done in.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you.
Whoa.
Star Wars, I'm not of the mindset where violence is one quantifiable thing. I believe there are different types of violence. You know, it's kind of like when we were kids, you know, we played video games all the time where you beat the crap out of people and shoot people and their sprite would fall down and they would blink until they disappeared because the system couldn't handle tracking all of them on screen at once.
Unless you use the blood code.
And that's where I was going. And then Mortal Kombat shows up in my middle school on a family fun night when they brought in a few arcade games. My mother was the chairwoman of, and I went and I saw it and I walked over and I grabbed my mom. I'm like, Mom, did you rent this game? It's really ridiculously gory and there's a lot of kids gathered around it, right? I mean, and it kind of changed stuff. It's like suddenly violence in games was a thing, but like same thing in cartoons. Like, oh, well, we can't do violence. And even we felt it in all of the prequels where they were trying to keep them at PG, right? Because the rating, they didn't want to take things to PG-13. So all of the violence was kind of dumbed down and stuff. Like, I'm kind of like, you know, you can still shoot dudes off dudes and knock dudes off of stuff and not have it be jarring. It can still be there without actually being a jarring effect, as long as you do it right and you keep the pacing right.
I'll tell you why it was, and I don't want to say jarring, because it was. I mean, it's not gory violence that was in this trailer. I mean, it's still an animated series. Don't get me wrong there. I think the difference for me is that I came out of the Clone Wars, and in the Clone Wars, the clones are, for all intents and purposes, the good guys. You know, so suddenly we're switching over and, you know, this takes place 13, 14 years, I think, after the events of the Clone Wars. So, you know, some time has been, you know, has gone by and the Empire has established itself and they're oppressing people now. And, you know, I guess
you're no longer fighting
all
these strange abstract aliens. Suddenly there are, you know, human form people who are actually taking the brunt of the violence on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And just seeing the club. Well, you know,
droids,
again, the clone trooper versus the stormtrooper. And, you know, like I said, one, you know, in my mind, you're seeing as the good guy. And now suddenly it's like, okay, I got to switch back now. These are the bad guys, you know? Yeah. So my mind is in the process of, you know, switching back, I guess. So. Yeah.
You'll get there, Mike. Stick with it.
I know. Thank you. Yes.
So you can watch that on YouTube, listeners, if you want to run out. And I'm sure you can also catch it at StarWars.com.
There are links out there for it.
You can also just look at our Twitter feed, because we're lousy with that stuff, at FlyCasual1138. You like that? Subtle plugs.
Very
my
good.
Special.
Very nice. Yes.
Nice.
What else is going on, Mike?
All right, Cinema Blend website is reporting that Daisy Ridley, I guess no real surprises here, but Daisy Ridley is in for the long haul through the third Star Wars trilogy, meaning that it's come out now that she is officially signed on for all three movies.
Okay, so she's not a Greedo analog.
Yeah, she's not the one that's going to get shot off right away, which, no surprises there, right? I mean,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's obviously something we all kind of suspected right off the bat.
Right.
We know that she's going to be a central character, more or less.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, by all accounts and seeming that way. And I mean, from what we're hearing, it sounds like, anyway, we'll find out, you know, on the day of, but that Daisy Ridley's character and John Boyega's character are going to be the I guess, the leads. So we'll see how that fleshes out.
Cool. All right. Cool. Well, hey, having said that, let's shift gears then and let's swing into the toy report.
All right. Yeah. So you guys know I'm from Indianapolis, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
We mentioned that at the top of the podcast.
Indianapolis in the Indiana, in the US of A. In the Indiana.
Oh, I thought he was in Indianapolis, Uruguay.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too.
I think that's what Indianapolis, Indiana was named after, though.
Oh, you know? I thought it was the inspiration for the Menudo song, Indianapolis.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Do you guys know that Menudo had a song called Indianapolis?
Yes.
I did.
Did you? Indianapolis.
Come on.
If you don't know who Menudo is, congratulations, you're young.
Well, anyway, Gen Con is a convention that comes to our town every year.
It sure does.
If you don't know what Gen Con is, it's short for Gen Convention. Not sure exactly what the gin stands for, but it's
I'm glad you brought that up.
But it's going on right now as we record, which is
Gaming
today,
Expo
I don't know, it's about games.
General convention
going on. It's a
games,
huge thing.
Hardware.
There's hundreds of thousands of people that converge on the city to just enjoy games, which
suck
is
the
amazing.
Life out of it, really.
We got, I mean, Will Wheaton showed up. I mean, come on.
I know. Hundreds of thousands of people converge on Indianapolis and simultaneously abandon all of their hygiene products.
That's that about sums it up.
Yep.
So in honor of Gen Con going on this week, I'm going to try to focus more on some of the games that are coming out with the Star Wars.
Lovely.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you know, or may not know, Fantasy Flight Games has...
I knew this would happen. Sorry, folks. Characters popped off. He'll be back on in 1 second.
Right when his big moment comes up, it's the Garrick segment. All right, here's my long intro. Got some laughs. I'm ready to go. And... Blah.
Gone.
He should be reconnecting at any moment.
No. He just started talking when we got quiet. He's still telling us about this game.
Saying, he's still talking.
Yeah, he's still telling us about this game.
Right, he'll be back
we
on
should
here.
Text him and let him know. Yeah, you're not even here, dude.
Okay. He's there.
There we go. Now you're back on. I'm glad you are.
Where happened there?
We are not editing that out.
No, I stand.
We didn't hear anything you said, Garrick.
You said, all right. Here's my intro, and we laughed, and then you said, all right, so this game is, and you were gone. So anything about the topic you were just starting.
Okay.
We're at Gen Con, and you're going to talk about games.
Okay. So as you may or may not heard, Fantasy Flight Games is a company that acquired the licensing to do games outside of video games for the Star Wars and other franchises.
Does this include all non-video games?
I believe they can make anything they want. I'm not exactly sure how the contract works.
Star Wars strip poker.
Yeah. Well, they have Star Wars dice games. And they took over the RPG element of the Star Wars universe.
Whoa. The tabletop RPG?
Yep.
Is really? No longer at West End Games?
No, it's
not West
Flight.
End. West End.
No.
Yes, Corey, it's not the late
80s. That's what we still play.
Yeah, we do still play West End. It's not at Wizards of the Coast anymore?
I don't believe they're making it because it's Fantasy Flight Games is definitely making it now.
Wow. Now, have they? Yeah. They can't use that same system, right? Wizards is on
D20
forever.
It's totally different. They've gone back to, like, I think a D6 system, but the D6s are weird looking.
Ooh,
I haven't actually played it. So I'm not probably.
Well, you have an assignment. You have a Gen Con assignment, my friend.
Yep, and I will.
Good
I will
man.
Check that out.
Good man.
But yeah, they also make a tabletop strategy starfighter game, which is what I want to really talk about because this looks awesome.
Is it new? Like new, or has it been around for a little bit?
It's been around for maybe a year or so. But the reason I bring it up is they are coming out with something new. I just wanted to cover what they've already come out with.
Okay.
So it's called X-Wing. Tabletop game, I guess.
Right, X-Wing. Right.
X-Wing, yes. So they have a bunch of different models that you can do dogfights with. Like, here's just a few of the ones I like. They have the TIE Advanced A1, which is Vader's ship.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Millennium Falcon, all the main starfighters, A-Wing, B-Wing, whatever.
And light
also
medium class freighters.
Yeah, also, right. Yeah, the Tantive IV, a Rebel transport. They also have an HWK 290. Which you may not recognize what that is, but it's actually the model type of the Moldy Crow.
Yeah.
From the Dark Force series.
Yeah. Yes. What?
I recognize that
because of another Star Wars role-playing campaign thing that we did, and I did intensive research on that.
Dogfight a moldy crow against, I guess, any one of these other things, depending on how the game works.
Yeah.
Which is super cool because they're going into the expanded universe a little bit with this game. Also, along that line, they had the Phantom Tie, which...
I can't believe the Phantom Tie made it in.
It's from, of course, Rebel Assault 2.
Rebel Assault 2. Take this, you Imperial bucketheads.
Exactly.
And that sound recording was not really good. So the first few times I played through that game, I thought he was saying something else.
The first time I saw that they were making that, they released a wave and had the pictures of all the... I about lost my mind. Like, Phantom Tie. Oh, my.
There's something that doesn't get a whole lot of love there.
No, never. But they also had the YT-2400, which is upgrade from the Millennium Falcon, which Dash Rendar was piloting. And
well, it's not a direct upgrade. It was a follow-up, but there was also the YT-200 and the YT-2200.
Well, you know, it skipped a few generations.
The YT-2000, excuse me.
It's like, yeah, whatever.
Hey, man, X-Wing Alliance was my jam. I would fly that 2000 around like nobody's business. Handled like a starfighter. Loved it. Okay, I'm done.
We lost.
I mean, again. Let me keep talking about the YT-2000.
My
co-pilot was a droid. I don't remember what there's Garrick sounding all like he's in a bathroom again.
Not anymore.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Cool. You know, a friend of the show, Aaron, has several times tried to coerce me into playing this game with him. He's brought it even to our Tuesday night LAN party just in case we don't get around to playing a computer game. He wants me to play this with him. And he's desperate. He's been like trying to get me to come over his house a couple times. And I totally want to try it, but it's never been a good time. And I need to commit to it. I need to set some time aside because I know I would end up either loving it or despising it. Because it's like when I tried to get into Warhammer 40K. I was in $60 before I realized I hated that game. by the way, $60 meant like five little plastic figures.
They do run kind of expensive. The normal expansion is probably about $15. If you want something bigger, like the Millennium Falcon or the Tantive IV, runs anywhere from like $30 to $60.
But so they're very pretty. I mean,
they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're already painted. They're don't have to do anything. They're very, right. I mean, you could put them on a shelf and show them off.
Oh, definitely.
They're display worthy pieces.
They're basically titaniums.
Yeah. Oh, don't say the word. I'm getting the shakes. Don't say titaniums.
The reason I'm mentioning this, like I said in the first place, is they're coming out with a new line of these called Star Wars Armada.
Really?
Yes. And this is what I'm probably going to sink a bunch of money into. Instead of the snub fighters, you know, all the transports or whatnot, they're actually moving up a notch or a few notches to capital ships.
Oh, my heavens.
And doing capital ship fights.
Now, these can't be to scale.
No. How big are they? They're working it. They're about the same size as the old ones. You get the Star Destroyer. Nebulon B frigate, which is the rebel side frigate.
Well, the Imperial made extensive use of the Nebulon B as well, including the modified ones.
I'm not going EU on this.
Oh, come on. But you can't start telling me the TIE fighter is okay.
There's not too many details on how this is going to work or anything. They just announced it that it's coming out in early 2015.
Oh,
but you do have.
My heavens.
I think he must be having internet issues tonight.
It's a bumpy ride for Garrick this evening.
We will get through this, folks.
We're going to do it.
It's going to get there.
It's an extra special extended toy report.
couldn't fill it with actual, words, just because we're filling it with
extra special things with words? I remember an hour-long episode of Family Ties that was just a clip show. Come on. But it was still an extra special Family Ties.
And we're back.
Very special.
Yeah. You have to wonder what's going through Garrick's head when the first thing he hears and he comes back and it's me saying Family Ties.
Wow, man, my mumble is messed up.
We know. But
where did I leave off?
I don't know. We keep laughing hysterically as soon as you do. You were talking about how they haven't explained how it's going to work. 2015, capital ships.
Okay.
I think that's kind of
that's where it's at.
That's good.
Okay.
Let me take a little pause here. So yeah, that sounds cool. I'll definitely check that out.
Flawless. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to really get in deep to find the seams on that one. Nailed it. Wow.
Well, so going back to Gen Con, I actually signed up to play a game this weekend. It's called Dejarik.
You're going to play Dejarik this weekend.
Really?
Yes, they actually have a Dejarik board, and they'll teach you how to play.
Now, I'm assuming it's like, is it like Microsoft Surface kind of thing, where it's like a touch screen?
I don't know. It's listed as a board.
Holograms.
It's listed as
they're doing those holograms now, too.
That's true.
I believe it's listed as a non-historical miniature game, so I have no idea what this is going to entail.
Non-historical?
Yeah, I'll make sure I take pictures and post it to the website and our Twitter and whatnot.
Yeah.
Even if they say you can't take pictures, you're going to do so anyways.
Yeah.
All you need to do is wear a hat on a little, you know, index card, write press and stick it in the brim.
Yep.
And whenever anybody says you can't take pictures
over here.
Yeah. You just, hey, look at the hat here, fella. It says press on it.
Can I over here for a second?
I'm over here from the press pool taking pictures for the
newspaper. What's that over there? It looks like a distraction. You better check that out.
Yeah, that's my best. That's probably my best voice there.
No, it's perfect. It was perfect. It was as good as your transition earlier.
That's about what I got going on. I'll definitely take some pictures of what else I got going on in the Fantasy Flight Games booth.
Absolutely.
And post those and keep you guys informed.
Absolutely. Please do. Please do. Looking to hear more about Gen Con. And oh, by the way, any really good cosplayers, really bad cosplayers, or really hot cosplayers, we would like to see all of our on our Twitter.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll also be handing out little flyers for the Fly Casual podcast.
That's true. If you are a listener of Fly Casual and you want to collect our crappy copy paper playing cards or collectible cards.
These are high quality.
There's four different ones, so you got to catch them all.
Yeah.
No one's used that as their tagline, right? That's original, right?
Right.
Yeah, got to catch them all. That's before. Ours, right? Yeah. TM, Arball, copyright.
Be the very best.
So, look for those. Look for those to be wadded up and sort of near garbage cans, but not quite in them, all over Indianapolis this week.
My goal is to get either Stackpole or R.A. Salvatore to sign one. And if I get R.A. Salvatore one, I'm going to want him to sign, "I killed Chewie."
Do it. Yes. And get him to write it on the front so we can frame it.
Yeah.
You got to get him to write it on the front. If he writes it on the back, then we got to do one of those glass frames. You got to turn around and show people. That's no fun. So, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Looking forward to more of that. Well, having said that, let's. Why don't we just go ahead and get ready? We've got our extra special interview right now. Coming at you, and after that, we'll pick up with rumors. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's. I'm getting a little nervous. I got goosebumps again. It's a theme for me tonight. But all right, let's. Everybody, Howie, pants back on. What did I say?
I think you would notice.
All right, Mike, shave your back hair. We're going to be talking to the straights. All right.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad that you've joined us now for a very special segment that we've really been looking forward to and really exciting about. We're going to be having a big interview tonight with none other than Amy Ratcliffe, who is a writer for Star Wars Insider, in addition to have written for IGN, Fashionably Geek, Blast Off Comics, Nerdist, and the official Star Wars blog. And Amy, I'm glad to have you here tonight. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you guys so much for asking me to be on.
Oh, are you kidding? We couldn't pass up the opportunity. And it's been a big thing, because I think our listeners are probably a little concerned about how legit we might be coming across right now. we might actually be soiling our own reputation a little bit.
We're ruining our rep, man.
we're ruining it by improving it.
Yeah, exactly.
The hipsters are going to be so mad.
Oh man. Well, I'll try it. I don't know if I want to help your reputation now. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Oh, that's all right. Just keep it low brow goes blue as you need, and we'll be right where we need to be. No, we think we keep a pretty tight ship, a pretty straight game around here. So, but out of the gate, so that our listeners can properly compartmentalize you. Let's see if I can actually read my notes with any accuracy. But I want to know right off the bat, just so everybody can put you in the right frame of mind: favorite Star Wars movie and favorite Star Wars character.
Oh boy. Movie's easy. That's, I'm not original. It's Empire Strikes Back.
There you go. There you go. It's still like a warm hug.
Yay!
I love it. Yeah. I love tauntauns. Correct. I love wampas. Yeah.
It's like the handshake that's not too firm, but not too, you know, limp and soft. It's not clammy. It's just like, yeah, solid.
Yeah.
All
right. And no Tatooine, right? No Tatooine.
No Tatooine.
No sand. It gets everywhere. Yeah.
And, it's so coarse.
It's true.
But as character's a little harder. I go back and forth between Han Solo and Ahsoka Tano from Clone Wars.
Ah, that's a pretty wide swing.
Nice.
That's a pretty wide swing if you're going to draw you know, a split between two characters. What about Han Solo do you like, other than his roguishness, right? Or maybe that's exactly it. Or versus Ahsoka, I wonder. What are the two things that attract you to those characters?
Han Solo, I just kind of like his devil may care attitude about the world. Mm-hmm. And I like that that evolves into him becoming a better, I'm putting quotes up in the air, you can't see him, a better person as he helps the rebellion.
We actually encourage a lot of physical gesticulation during the podcast.
We do. Absolutely.
It comes across in the voice, we think.
And then far as Ahsoka, you know, I just really became fascinated with the way that she changed from this bratty little character when we first met her in the Clone Wars movie to this person who, by the end of the series, you know, is very grown up and very mature and capable of making some pretty big decisions. I kind of look up to her, really.
Right. Hey,
Amy, this is Mike. How do you feel about how they wrapped up that series? I mean, there's some people that feel like, you know, her character wasn't really fully fleshed out. I mean, that we don't really know what happens to her. Do you have any thoughts, feelings on that? Do you feel like we're going to see her in the future? What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if we'll see her. I wouldn't be surprised to hear her referenced or hear her name in Star Wars Rebels. But as far as her arc in the story, I really liked where they ended it. It wasn't a final answer, but we know we watched her. She got to go out on this incredible, I consider it a high moment, like a big moment for her, even though it was sad and heartbreaking. But I feel like we got to see her be a really strong character at the end. And
yeah,
I agree. I don't know if I'm just a glutton for punishment or I'm just, you know, so lowbrow that I don't like Mystique. But when something happens where I don't know what actually resolved, or I always want to know what happens next. You know, if every movie could end like Animal House and I just get freeze frames with white text at the bottom of the screen to tell me, they lived happily ever after and became a senator. Great. I'm feeling good about it. Or if I could just, you know, like Stand By Me, if I could just have someone just say, this is what happened to everybody later in life. Yeah. Okay, good. I feel bad. Oh, he died? That's unfortunate, but I'm okay.
Isn't that how Knights of the Old Republic 2 ended?
That is. That's exactly how Knights 2 ended, as a matter of fact. So, well, Amy, I think what everybody, what I really would like to know is, you know, we're all fans, we're all lifelong fans. So how did you come to actually be writing for the Star Wars blog and for Star Wars Insider? How did that come about for you?
It started with the Star Wars blog, and it just, you know, Twitter is an amazing and addictive place to go. I've met the best people there, including when Bonnie Burton worked for Lucasfilm. I met her through Twitter, and then because of Twitter, like, I got to know her, and I got to know Matt Martin, who works at Lucasfilm. And when it eventually got to a point where they were accepting, you know, guest contributions for the website, I started writing for them, I think, at Celebration. Celebration 6.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting my numbers mixed up. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Celebration 6.
Mike and I still argue about which one we went to. So
I'm like, which one? It was in Orlando. It was hot. Which was both 5 and 6, I guess. But anyway, but Matt, you know, asked if I would cover some panels and cover those for the blog. So I started out doing that. And then I'm like, you know, can I do my own column? And I started doing Fully Operational Fandom. I do other articles too, but with Fully Operational Fandom, because I think the Star Wars fandom is, you know, it's not like any other one I've encountered. And you can really feel that at Celebration, but fans just kind of take this thing that's been around for 35 years, are still insanely passionate about it. And a lot of them, you know, funnel that into creative energy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I love fandom. So I try to focus on, like this week, it was a post about, you know, people made their license plates to the Star Wars. Sometimes it's people who bake Star Wars stuff.
I can identify with that personally.
So I like showcasing that side of that side of Star Wars because I think it's awesome.
I'm glad that you showcase it. I would probably hide my shame a little bit just because I don't want to admit how many hours I probably spent developing the spreadsheet with all of the ideas I had for my license plate on my previous car. It was probably 600 or 700 lines long, and I was going over it with other people. I'm like, all right, I want it to be a good reference that other Star Wars fans get, but it's not so on the nose that people are like, ugh, and rolling their eyes when I drive past. And I ended up going with Twin Ion. That was
played.
Yeah, that was mine. And a lot of people are like, just thought, hey, that sounds cool. And I'm like, yeah, you don't know. And then every now and then you like someone would like honk the horn and pull up and like double thumbs up out the window. And I'm like, they know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
And then with Star Wars Insider, I think I met Jonathan Wilkins, the editor in chief, through Kinsetta Parker, who works with Steve Sansweet at Rancho Obi-Wan. And, you know, I emailed him to pitches and it didn't work out. And then I met him in person at Celebration 6. And I was like, you know what? Like, if you need anything while you're here, like, let me know last minute. If you just need stuff transcribed, like, I just kind of put myself out there and basically said, look, like, I will do slave work, whatever. Let me just, I want to contribute to the magazine. And I think that made an okay impression. And because then later I started pitching stuff and we started figuring out, you know, some stories I could write. And then he's assigned me a couple things since then. So that's it.
That's cool. So is that how stuff's coming in now? Like, are you now just kind of like taking on assignments as they're saying, well, we want this and we think that you're the person to write that, or are you still pitching ideas to them? How does that work now? Where
you're at? For Star Wars specifically or for anywhere?
Anywhere. None of this is uninteresting, but let's start off with Star Wars and then we'll branch out from there.
Yeah. So with Insider, it's a mix. Sometimes I'll pitch stuff like for example, there was a tease because the magazine covers will go out sometimes for Diamond pre-orders before the episode or for the magazine's like locked and loaded.
Yeah.
So there was one that was teased recently about, you know, like a fangirl centric magazine. So as soon as I saw that on Twitter, like I emailed Jonathan, I'm like, so you're doing a fangirl one. Maybe I could. and it ended up my story got, I wrote a feature for that, but it got cut because there was news for episode 7 that had to be put in there or something. So whatever. So it's a back and forth. If I come across, there's actually a really random, crazy happenstance. A friend of mine went to the Caribbean on a cruise and he pulled over on St. Martin. Well, he pulled over the ship.
and he was riding behind it on a wakeboard with like sirens above his head, blowing a whistle.
He went on an excursion or whatever it's called. I don't know, boat terminology, to St. Martin and came across this museum called that Yoda guy. And
really?
It turns out the guy that runs it is Nick Maley. And he worked on some aliens in the cantina scenes in A New Hope, but he also worked on building the Yoda puppets for Empire.
Wow.
So that like, he passed me Nick's contact information. He got his card and I pitched it to Jonathan. And Jonathan's like, yes, please write that up. And then I interviewed Nick. So that'll be in Star Wars Insider. I think the next one that's coming out. But it's just like,
That's really interesting. So were they, you know, when you pitched that, were they kind of like, oh, is that where he ended up? I mean, or were they kind of like, oh, yeah, he's there. We forgot about that. I mean, was that just kind of like a known quantity or totally out of the blue?
Jonathan knew of him, but I don't think he realized he had like a little mini museum on an island in the Caribbean.
Right. So I have to ask.
Kind of quirky.
I have to ask, did you get a comp trip to the Caribbean?
I did not.
Oh. Swing and a miss.
I did not play that one correctly, but I'm pretty sure the answer would have been no.
Always worried.
Jonathan would have been like, I will write that story, actually.
It's for the craft. It's for the craft. So
deductible.
What was the process then of getting in touch with him? And, you know, was it just like over the phone, over Skype, something like that to pull that story together?
Just a couple emails. And then we talked on Skype for, and that was hard because we talked for 45 minutes and he just had a lot of great stories and also just a lot of interesting life advice. About like how he like, it's just like, you can't give up on your dreams. If you want to live an extraordinary life, you can't just do things like an average person would. And it was all just really like encouraging. And anyway, but I had to cut it way down because the article was kind of short.
Oh yeah.
But then he emailed me, like, you know, he set up a Dropbox for pictures.
Oh wow.
He just, you know, to show me some of he had a replica of the Yoda puppet made. So he has that in his museum, and it was easy, man. Technology makes things pretty simple sometimes, most of the time.
It makes it harder to get the trip comped is what it does.
Well, that's
so if you had to cut it down, is there anything that didn't make the article? I'm not going to ask you what's in it because obviously we want people to go out and read it. But is there anything that you had to cut out, like little tidbits that you could share with us, or is it all mum's the word?
No, I'm trying to remember. You know, I actually think this little piece, I don't remember if it ended up in the article or not, but he was talking about, you know, how he was trying to get into the movie business, and he just had to work at it. And he pointed out this really great thing that he's like, you know, if there's an obvious way to do something, that's what a million other people are going to be doing. Yeah. So you have to kind of come in it and hit it sideways. So instead of going to George Lucas's front door, he went and talked to Stuart Freeborn.
Okay.
Ah.
Instead, to try to get work in the shop. So I'm like, oh, that's a really smart piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. It kind of reminds me of, if I may, for just a moment, it reminds me of George Wendt, Norm from Cheers, and how he talked about he wanted to do things at Second City, but he couldn't get on any of the teams. He couldn't get on any of the groups. So he just said, can I just push the broom and clean up the place? And they're like, well, yeah, you can do that. So he worked for free. And then they started pulling him into stuff. And then, boom, you know, he's on like the most successful show on primetime for, I don't even know how many years that was, like almost a decade.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's really true. It's really true. There's, especially in that industry, there's so many people that want to take part. If you can figure out how to set yourself apart and just make yourself different, you don't necessarily have to be better. It helps,
right.
But to be committed and just to do something different is what makes you stand out. That's really cool. And I try to remind myself that even in my own 9-to-5 and how I can just be a little out there, but yet not frighten my coworkers. So that last part being the hardest part about it. So, well, yeah. Amy, you write about all kinds of stuff. You write about Star Wars. You also cover quite a lot about cosplay, Legos, cosplay, models, action figures, food, and cosplay. I'm not sure that you actually write about cosplay more than some of the other things, or it's just I keep clicking on the same articles because I can't quit looking at the pictures, which is also entirely possible.
But I write a lot about cosplay.
Are you a cosplayer yourself?
I am. I think I write about it. I write about it more now than I actually, you know, I tend to be more of a, I'm more of a lazy cosplayer, honestly, because I usually will get stuff made or commissioned. So I've made a few things here and there, but yeah, I want to change this, but I'm pretty lazy. That's all what it comes down to.
Garrick, when she says made or commissioned, I didn't interpret that as have her spouse make one for her. So I don't know if that's how you do it is really the proper response from you.
No, but he does end up, I'm dressing as, I love My Little Pony. So I'm doing a My Little Pony costume at Dragon Con. And it's a character who's like, she's the star of this adventure book series.
Nice.
So I did have my fiance make me bookmarks that I can hand out to people.
Nice. Good.
So that I can encourage people to read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always a good message. So you're a My Little Pony fan. Now, everyone always hears about the adult male My Little Pony, the bronies or the fans. What is an adult female My Little Pony fan? Would that be like a grony?
Pegasisters.
Pegasisters. Nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. That's way better than brony.
Yeah. What was it on Bob's Burgers when they had the like equestronauts or whatever, and the adult male fans were the equestricals or something? Yeah, exactly. I don't think I got it quite right, but you picked it up. You picked it up. So, well, what are your favorite items that you do write about? I mean, for all the different things you cover, and I got to admit, I've kind of just gone through and kind of gorged on a lot of your snippets of stuff that show up on Nerdist. I love the variety of things that show up in that feed. And so it's really fun to just go in and mass consume, you know, binge, really. And what are your favorite things to cover of all the stuff that you write for, all the different things you write for? What's the kind of thing that gets you the most jazzed, most excited?
Star Wars.
Yay!
That's the right answer. Good night, everybody. A+. All right. That's a wrap, gentlemen. Thank you, Amy. No, that's what gets us excited, too. I don't know if you knew.
What about cosplaying Star Wars? Wouldn't that automatically double as good?
Well, and that's another, like, second to Star Wars, I do love writing about cosplay, and also like when people make themed food from fandom, because I just love anything where fans care about something so much they're willing to make an incredibly detailed costume or figure out how to put this one lady that I talked about for the Star Wars blog made the cantina in Mos Eisley out of Rice Krispie treats.
Wow.
So I just appreciate anybody that eat it. She made it for a birthday party, I think, for her kids, so she had to wait.
I was going to say, Garrick, you have to make it really fast before you can eat it. You have to make it quicker than you can eat it.
That's, yeah, I might just eat one modal node. Just one modal node. That'd be okay.
It's true, though, when you see someone putting that much effort into something that is strictly for them. Like, I'm making a costume for me, or I'm making food that, you know, me, my friends, or my family will eat. It's such a more personal thing. Yeah, than a lot of other forms of expression.
Exactly. And that somebody's willing to pour that much time and sometimes money, you know, into.
Yeah.
My friends and I, we had a couple in LA. Theme parties are a big thing there. I don't know. There's a reason why that needs to be explored. But we had a Hunger Games party with no death, clearly. But where we made... themed, like, we did have like a little mini Hunger Games. Like, we gave people like football, like black football flags, and water guns. But we made, like, I love making themed food. So, you know, look up in the book and you find anything they mention, and some people have recipes for it online, and all out. Yeah, so I like writing about that kind of stuff.
I remember when we were going to do a Harry Potter party. Did I say that right? Harry Potter. We did a Harry Potter party, and we were looking up. We're like, I wonder if there's a recipe for. Of course there is. Why are we even wondering? Let's just Google, because no matter what the end of that sentence is, there's a recipe for it. Butterbeer, you know, anything that comes out of those. Someone's created an approximation of what they think personally that would be like. And then it's fun to experience it.
Yeah.
You know? I honestly, there's not a time that I've had blueberry cereal, and after I'm done, I'm like, ha-ha, blue milk, you know?
Shoot. When we graduated college, we were taking branches off the trees and pretending like we were doing Wingardium Leviosa and Expecto Patronum in our graduation robes.
That's true.
Which was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All about what you make it.
God forbid we discovered the Dresden Files at that point, because then we'd have really been going kind of nuts with the flick-em-bick-em-bickus or whatever. Yeah, what is it?
Flick-em-bickus, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so that's cool. I guess moving on, you've conducted some pretty big celebrity interviews. You've interviewed comics writer Mark Waid,
who,
didn't we get a new announcement about something he's working on in the last few days?
Did.
What is that?
Yes.
Someone remind me.
It's
the Princess Leia, the Leia comic. Yeah.
Oh,
Leia.
Yeah.
Leia. Yep.
Yeah. And I know Garrick was really
excited.
He's
still working
about
on Daredevil, too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
He's doing an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, too, that kind of ties in with the TV series a little, or at least uses the characters.
Interesting. I know Garrick's a big Daredevil fan.
He's a busy guy.
He's getting excited whenever he sees crossing those.
He also wrote, he co-wrote Kingdom Come, too, Corey.
He did?
Yes, it is.
Boy, it's Kingdom been Come. So long since I've actually read that. That completely got past me.
With Alex Ross.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, unfortunately, I didn't know I don't know any details about it, because that's back when I was consuming comics at such an arm's length. You know, it's kind of like, I like the pretty pictures. This Alex Ross guy makes neat watercolor looks, you know. But
makes it hard to read when you got it that far away from you, though.
Yeah. When I hold it all the way out, thankfully I have short arms, so my eyes can overcome the distance. But you've interviewed Mark Waid. You've at Comic-Con last year, you talked to Aaron Eckert, right? Of I, Frankenstein and, Thank You for Smoking, several other things. And you've even interviewed, the winner of the coveted Corey T. Wilson Award for best use of an extraordinarily small amount of blue latex, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not ashamed. I have no shame in how my appreciation for her grows every day. Now, I'm assuming that those interviews happen like junket style. Like they're sitting there for, you know, an hour, two, three, four, five, and folks are kind of filing in and from different international outlets and things like that, and kind of going through the questions. Is that an accurate assumption?
Not at Comic-Con.
Okay, how does it work at Comic-Con?
It's crazy. I was going to use a curse word that I refrained.
Feel free. Feel free.
It's fracking crazy.
Yes, there we go.
So what they do at Comic-Con, and I did more of them this year, so I got to see, you know, kind of experience this even more, is, you know, they'll grab, sometimes the talent is only there for a day, depending if they're in the middle of filming. So they'll book up that day with, you know, the panel that they're on, appearances. Like, so IGN, for example, they have a war room at the Hard Rock Hotel across the street where they will film a live stream.
I've actually learned like quite a bit of this listening to Brian Altano on the Comedy Button, kind of describing the same thing. So I'm feeling really close to this right now. I mean, I want to let you know that.
Yeah. So they'll go from, and there are a couple other outlets set up there. There's some outlets set up in Hilton, which is nothing super close together because there are waves of people that you have to navigate through. The talent doesn't have to do that. They get cars.
Oh yeah.
They get driven everywhere.
Cars and back doors and alleyways and things.
Exactly.
Sure.
So they will shuttle them around, between any outlets that get one-on-one time. But for the most part, like the stuff I do, they come into, a conference room at a hotel. A lot of the press stuff happens in, if you go to Comic-Con, it happens at the Hilton Bayfront. So if you ever want to see celebrities camp out in the front, and people figured this out, but you camp out in front of there and you can watch them come in and out. And it's a press line, and you have a placard with your outlet on it, and you stand in front of your cameraman, and it is usually uncomfortably, like, they overbook the press lines.
Yeah.
So it's usually uncomfortably, like, you can barely move.
Right.
And then talent starts popping down the line. If you're lucky, you get three questions. Usually it's just two.
So it's kind of like the red carpet at the Oscars. You're standing there and you want to get their attention and get your questions as quick as possible, but they're actually filing through.
Yeah. And they do have a publicist, you know, their publicist with them. So the publicist will make sure they stop at every camera.
Right. Okay.
But it is, and then, you know, they're answering, because all of our outlets, you know, I would love to ask about other things, but I know that my editor needs to know about the movie or the next season of whatever. So they get asked the same questions.
Right. Oh, I can imagine.
You know,
But I guess if they're going through and kind of, and they have to stop at everybody, they've kind of got their, you know, some of their answers, most of their answers for most of the questions are kind of ready made, ready to go. And they're used to kind of keeping appearances and things like that. So that sounds rough though.
Yeah.
It sounds rough.
Very tiring.
Imagine. Well, I mean, from both sides.
Well, everybody. Right.
From everybody. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, oh man, I really admire. So I imagine when you interviewed Jennifer Lawrence last year, it was 2013, right? So that would have been for Days of Future Past?
No, it was for Hunger Games.
Oh, it was actually for Hunger Games. Okay.
Catching Fire. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that came out sooner. Gotcha. What kind of questions then, you know, when you've got like three questions, if you're lucky, what are the things that you're banging out right then? What have you got in the gun when they come stepping by?
You know, I make a lot of notes beforehand and just kind of adjust based on sometimes what I hear other people asking, or sometimes they're in a mood. There are some actors that are just, I've only had it a couple times, but they're in a mood. So you just adjust. And she was very sweet. And I don't remember what the exact questions were, but I was asking stuff, you know, like Katniss is at this place now. What kind of frame of mind is she in? It's really like generic borderline stuff, but that's the answers they can take and edit, and you know, that's what they
what they're expecting. And if you I almost wondered if you catch them too far off guard, do they just kind of go all right and walk to the next person or something? You know, how does that work, because they're on such a tight schedule, you know? And you would say, you know, tell me about a rougher time when you were a teenager. I got nothing.
Not with that. I don't quite go that random. But if you have time, if you have time, like, for example, I talked to the Russo brothers because this Comic-Con, because they're working on Agent Carter, and I was on the press line for the Marvel TV stuff, and they're working on the next Captain America movie. So when the publicist wrapped up, I'm like, quick question, what can you tell me? Will Bucky be in Captain America 3? And they just do the, oh, we'll see. so they're prepared to try to, like, trick them
he
in.
He better be.
That's the question right there. That's the big question because of all the rumors going around about how long can the Cap, the Cap and Cal be worn by the same actor?
Dude,
you know?
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of wondering, is Bucky going to take over? What's going to happen? So I admire you having the gumption to ask that
question. Is MODOK supposed to be in Cap 3?
Really?
Really?
Is that the rumor?
That's the rumor.
Are you starting that rumor right now?
Sure, Garrick.
Garrick's sitting on a script right now. He's like, I got to get this rumor out and I got to sell
that,
this bad
now
boy.
That none of you have heard that, I'm kind of questioning what I've read.
And whether I Maybe. Read it. It's cool.
Maybe
well,
I just dreamed that.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, we've still got a little time. Do you have a little more time to hang out?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, let me ask you real quick so we don't get run out of time. So you've got that article coming out in the next edition of Star Wars Insider about that Yoda guy museum down on St. Martin, is it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So we've got that to look forward to. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about stuff that you've got upcoming?
Yeah, I have a couple interviews regarding Star Wars Rebels coming out in Insider. I think it's the September, October-ish issue with Greg Weissman and Taylor Gray so far.
Wow. Cool. I'm really getting excited about that stuff.
Me too.
Did you get to watch the first episode yet?
I have.
Oh,
I've seen the first 7 minutes.
Interesting. So about that first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't spoil because I think somebody Lucasfilm would probably have. I just feel like they have a snipe. But I will say that I didn't go in with low expectations. But I fully admit to Clone Wars was my Star Wars. So when it got canceled, I was bitter. I'm like, I don't want another animated series.
Oh, wow.
Give me back Clone Wars.
That's a very different perspective than I've heard from anyone that I've talked to as yet.
I'm kind of on that way, too. I felt that way after finishing up Clone Wars. I was like, I kind of felt the same way. I'm not sure I wanted something else, but I don't know. What I've seen so far, though, and the people, the actors they brought in and whatnot, it seems like it's going to be fun.
It is. So coming from that perspective, I walked, I sat there after the hour screening was over and I was just like, frack, that's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
That's awesome.
Wow,
yeah.
Garrick. Are you going to be all right there? Yeah.
It was just heartwarming. There was so much, they keep referencing or keep saying that the tone is like A New Hope, and you definitely see that in the first hour. And it's, they balance the lighthearted. I know people are worried about them Disney-fying it and making it too kiddy.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Which I think is just ridiculous because so there is the humor, but there's some serious crap going down, on Lothal and around the galaxy, and they don't.
I know just watching that 7-minute preview. It's there's scenes where they're killing stormtroopers there's
blowing
some like,
them up.
Blowing them up. Yeah. I mean, there's some serious content there. I mean, it's not.
Hey,
it's
Mandos
not just
don't
kinda
mess around.
So
that was a thermal detonator at a guy.
Right. Yeah. Throws in his hand. So, so there's from a certain point of view and some perspective, it's a rebellion. So I like that they're getting some of that in there, but yeah, you got to have the lighthearted too, because that's tantamount to Star Wars as well. That's, if you're talking Episode 4 and they're trying to get that, get that same look and feel, that's, a big part of it. I mean, just the banter between the main characters is hilarious, so you got to have that good mix of all of it, I guess.
Amy, since you've seen the first episode, and I'm not going to ask you to spoil anything, but I want to ask you about a look and feel, or more of a feel kind of question. And it was something that I actually mentioned in our last episode that I'm starting to predict. I was not a huge fan of the Clone Wars. I was kind of I liked the episodes that everybody, these are the big meaningful ones. And I would watch those, and I'm going to get, you know, and then every now and then I sit down and watch like 8 or 10 in a row and just not pay attention to a lot of them. So I was kind of in and out of Clone Wars just based on what type of episode it was or who it was about and things like that. But with this, I've been getting kind of excited. And the reason being is that I feel like by having this core team of archetypes, as opposed to a lot of different clones with subtle differences, plus a lot of different groups of leaders that we kind of bounce around between, by having this core group, we can get more attached to them. We can, you know, we'll see more of their interactions and how they kind of like bounce off each other in goofy ways or in serious ways. And I started to predict that this would maybe feel a little more like Star Wars meets Firefly.
Oh yeah.
Did you get that impression at all?
Absolutely. It's very much like a similar, you know, kind of this ragtag group, and they are already, you can see that, you know, they're like a family, just like Mal and his group were. So I think that's definitely a fair comparison.
Good. I just literally got goosebumps because I got a warm fuzzy that just ran everywhere when you confirmed that.
Yeah.
So. That's cool. What, did you have something else that you have upcoming that you wanted to tell us about?
I think that not anything. I mean, out of the ordinary.
Okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I want to kind of fire some of the just everyday questions at you that, you know, you like to talk about Star Wars. So you've probably been around this block several times, but I'd really like to get kind of your opinion on the things that everybody's been talking about concerning episode 7s and some of the changes that the whole universe has been going through mounting up to that. So I have to ask, how invested were you in the EU?
I don't want to say I'm not invested, because I am. And I read more comics than I've read books. I've read probably 8-ish books, and I want to read more. And I've read a ton of the comics, especially like the Clone Wars era. I just eat all that up, and Knights of the Old Republic. And
Right.
I love seeing that much stuff outside the universe that we're used to from the original and prequel trilogies. But I've never had an issue viewing them as their own playgrounds, like as their own thing. So when they announced that, you know, that they're going to be the legends now, and they're not even, you know, a different kind of canon there.
Right.
I never really thought of them as canon. And I have a hard time wrapping. Your books aren't going to go anywhere. They're still on my shelf. Nobody took them away.
Yeah.
They're still good stories. And I don't think them not being official canon takes away from how much I enjoyed them.
Did any of the books that you read take place in the EU in the timeline following the original trilogy?
Yeah, the Timothy Zahn books, Heir to the Empire, those are the first ones I read.
Right. Good.
But
good. I have Heir to the Empire sitting right on my desk in front of me. I don't know. I'm assuming how he put it there.
Yeah,
I did. That's not true. Vector Prime was the first one I read, and that turned me off of reading the EU for a while.
Yes. Wow. That's the first one you read?
Because a friend my ex's cousin who was staying with us at the time, I'm like, I want to read some EU books. He's like, here you go. And I read it.
It says Prime right on it.
Oh,
wow.
What? Yeah.
Right. No. You know, it's funny, after I read that book, I'm like, this is what we're doing now? This is the direction we're going to? This didn't feel like Star Wars at all. It tasted funny. I couldn't understand what was happening. And then I was like, I have to know why this guy is such a successful, R.A. Salvatore is so successful. So I went out and I picked up a couple Forgotten Realms book, you know, the Baldur's Gate stuff, Drista Worden and all that.
Yeah, how were those?
Really good. Really weird. Entertaining. So, like, the character is, like, kind of like a sarcastic, you know, kind of like a socially rejected Han Solo type who's, you know, uses a couple of scimitars, slices everybody to pieces, and cracks a joke like Spider-Man. It's really enjoyable. Nothing like Vector Prime whatsoever. So that, to me, was just probably, maybe there were too many fingers in the pie at that point. But, oh, I'm sorry that was your first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not great.
Oh, but you did come around and read the Zahn trilogy.
Yes, then I started from there. And I've started the X-Wing books. I'm only 3 or so books in.
Those are
good. I like those.
And then do you have Eye Jedi on your radar? I have to ask. After you finish the X-Wing books, I feel like it's only prudent.
I don't know Eye Jedi.
You've been introduced to the character of Corran Horn.
Yes.
And Eye Jedi is about him, and it's in the first person, also written by Stackpole.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's one of my favorite books of all time, really.
Yeah, I would say, absolutely.
Yeah, so I could say if you get to that one, you can probably just sign off of the books for quite a while. There's other good there's other good stuff out there, but you're kind of hitting the high right there and just ride it. Go back, enjoy some more graphic novels and just, but yeah.
Well, I read a few of the recent ones that I like Scoundrels and Kenobi and Razor's Edge. Like I enjoyed all of those.
Okay. Yeah. I left off. Garrick might have to remind me where I left off, because I think he only got about a book further than I did. With some of the, what were the, not legacy, it's not legacy, is it, Garrick?
It's after legacy.
After legacy.
It's of the Fate of the Jedi.
Fate of the Jedi, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard great things about those.
No. You won't hear either. You won't hear.
Yeah, I don't think those are really on my list.
Yeah, yeah, that's a safe bet. And the reason why I brought that up is because when it comes to the EU getting the axe, I've kind of thought, you know, regardless of the fact that there's just, you know, a handful of items like the Clone Wars TV series that are still considered part of official canon, anything that kind of happened before the movies we're waiting for, we're probably not going to feel a big heavy pinch on. You know, it's probably, we're moving on with the story. So it's not like they're going to go, okay, guys, first off, all that stuff from before, not true.
Well, they already started bringing in some of the stuff from the Old Republic.
Exactly.
Series, like Darth Bane was in one of the Clone Wars episodes, voiced by Mark Hamill, which was awesome.
Actually, there's a lot of chatter on the web right now about that very thing that don't get too freaked out about the EU not being there anymore, because it sounds like these new stories there's going to be a lot of drawing in from what's already been done. So I think that'll probably please a lot of the people that are EU fans or Legends fans, as they're called now.
I don't call me that.
Sorry. I'm an EU fan too. So
I take great offense. cool. Well, yeah, that's kind of the big thing going around. So I guess on when it comes to episode 7, and I'm getting really general my questions now, but we don't, you know, we're pretty inbred around here, so we like to be able to pick other people's brains when we have the opportunity. And I swear I'll let you go after this, because I know you've got some responsibilities to keep. But in terms of episode 7, what has you the most excited or what are you kind of the most nervous about regarding what you've been exposed to so far?
Oh, man. Let's go.
I got them.
It is. I know. I want to touch on the nervous one first, but more just about the future of Star Wars in general and not just episode 7.
Okay.
Is I feel a little concerned that with the sequel trilogy and the spinoffs and Rebels and whatever else they do, I'm worried that we're going to hit oversaturation point. Give me more Star Wars. That's awesome. But I'm worried that I'm concerned that it might affect quality at some point.
Right.
I'm not hugely concerned about it, but it is something I think about.
Right. You kind of want to, I almost feel the need to take Kevin Feige's, reserve parking sign and move it over by the other lot. Just so he can wander in whatever building they're working in. Cause this guy seems to have a golden, a golden touch, for
he
the
has
most
it
part.
Together. Yeah. He does a great job at making that universe cohesive and kind of keeping everything, I feel like, on track. So I don't know who their Kevin Feige is or if,
exactly.
Who has that.
That's exactly. Yeah,
that's kind of yet to be determined, really. I mean, I think everybody's assuming it's JJ, but we don't really know that.
Right. And Kathleen Kennedy, she's been around for a while, so it's not like she's, she's brand new at this. So it's kind of like who's the mastermind that's going to, kind of the puppet master who's going to kind of, bring everything together to make one cohesive thing that we don't get tired of. I totally agree. I'm completely nervous about that.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. I think when I first saw the schedule that they're trying to from now between now and 2018 with, 7 spinoff, 8 spinoff, 9 spinoff, you're right. It's just,
it's aggressive.
It's very aggressive. It's almost going to be more interesting, I think, on my side to see if they're going to be able to pull it off. I mean, it's almost too aggressive. So, Yeah, hopefully they don't sacrifice quality, because we've talked about this in past podcasts. You know that, yeah, is it going to hit some of that quality mark if they're pushing this too much? And hopefully they won't be so aggressive that, you know, that they can't delay it if they need to.
Yeah, because quality is more important to me than you know, here, have a Star Wars movie, have another one. I want them to be good.
Yeah,
I want good stories.
Yeah. I salivated for years off every tidbit I could get off episode one. If I did that for that movie, I can do it for any movie. That's where I fall. I might come down on the stereotypical lines, but I've got good reason for it. So, hey, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate being able to kind of pick your brain and talk about the things you're working on. It's really, really cool, really excited, and I look forward to seeing some of the stuff you've got coming out. So, anything else that you wanted to say? Parting shots you wanted to fire? Anything like that?
Can I say what I'm excited about for episode 7?
Oh, geez. Completely. I asked the question.
wait. Such a downer.
This is why I would never do well over at that hotel line in the conference room. They'd walk up and be like, where'd you get those shoes? That was your question. Oh, no. I was just distracted. Deadly keys. please tell us what you are excited about regarding episode 7 or the ongoing stories.
As far as episode 7, I am excited that somebody like Kevin Smith went and got tears in his eyes. Excited about seeing the Millennium Falcon again and seeing Stormtroopers again and hopefully Tatooine again. And it's new Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that's kind of with Rebel. There's nothing like the high you get from seeing a new Star Wars for the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
You mentioned Kevin Smith. I had probably a pretty divisive rant a couple episodes ago because, you know, that came out that he had tears in his eyes and there was this huge outpouring of, oh man, Kevin Smith was really moved by it. And everybody's really excited. And I went, is he not moved by things anymore? I feel like Kevin Smith is the quintessential mass consumer these days of just loving stuff. Either that or he just comes, you know, he's very vocal about the stuff he loves. And I'm sitting here with my pouty face and my arms crossed going, but what do you not like, Kevin Smith? You know,
well, the way I see it is not so much that it's just Kevin Smith, I guess. I guess it's more that it is a passionate Star Wars fan. And I've heard him talk about growing up with Star Wars and playing with the action figures.
It came across in his early work. It was a major a contributing theme to his early work, from the get-go.
Somebody that we feel pretty, you know, that we know has a pretty happy, passionate feeling about Star Wars. You know, if it were me, like, no, it wouldn't matter. I cry at everything. be honest. So, but if just that it moves somebody that much,
right.
You know, and maybe you're right. Maybe he does. Maybe he cries over everything too. But it gave me warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yeah, maybe Kevin Smith's my mom. Who knows? You know, she cries it during I almost said during phone, like long distance commercials, but that's not even a thing anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't seen one of those.
Half our listeners, what phone commercials? Be like T-Mobile? So.
I saw him do an interview about it that is going to be on a thing that I am not allowed to talk about yet.
Interesting.
He just mentioned how it just brought back the feelings that he had when he was a kid watching Star Wars.
And that's the detail. That's the nitty gritty that I want. That's what I can latch onto. It's kind of like, oh, I saw this and I was totally moved, but I can't say anything about it. I'm like, I don't believe you. You know, I've been hurt too many times, Kevin Smith. I'm a gentle, fragile leaf, you know. And so when I can start hearing that kind of thing, like, you know, this is actually invoking the feeling that I had, because that's definitely what I, for the most part, don't get from the prequels. Although, overall, I appreciate the prequels and I can, for the most part, enjoy them for what they are. They do not invoke in me, you know, those feelings. And everybody says, well, you know, you were young, you know, that's why. And I'm like, no. And we've talked about it at great length. Right. We think that JJ is a student of feeling. He's a student of look and feel.
And he's
proven it with, and I always bring up Super 8 as the first 2/3 of Super 8 as a great example of him, understanding the look and feel of Spielberg's old style and being able to recreate that. And I think that if there's anyone that can make us feel that way again, it's got to be him, you know.
Yeah.
So that's That's exciting. It's exciting stuff. Well, hopefully we'll be able to talk again after we, and maybe even after we know some more and kind of pick your brain a little more about what's exciting and what's not. But again, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us tonight. So hopefully,
yes, thank you.
Hopefully you had thank fun you. And hopefully we can have you back again soon.
Oh gosh, yeah. I'd love to come back. Absolutely. Thank you guys for
awesome. Yeah, maybe we can have you just come hang out one night and kind of banter with us a little bit. We'd love to have
I'd
you.
I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you will meet when the museum opens. Sorry, just rubbing it into the nose of all
only
of our coastal
more
listeners.
Years.
Right around the corner, gentlemen. So, all right, Amy, thank you for joining us. We won't take up any more of your time, but we'll talk to you again real soon. All right.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Thank you.
Too. Bye, Amy. See ya.
Bye.
That was really cool. That was a whole lot of fun.
It was really awesome for her to show up.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Yeah, that's Amy, if you're listening, that was sweet. That was sweet. Awesome. And
we look forward to having her back on the show. We really do.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
She I think she did well for being dropped into the lion's cage.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, I think she handled it like a pro. Bless her heart.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome. So, hey, let's not mess around anymore. Let's get right back into it because it's that time of the show where we banter on about ridiculous, stupid things and say the dumbest things we say of the whole night. It's rumors.
Yeah. Rumors.
Here we go.
All right, man. Jeez. Okay. We got three big ones this week, man. Lots of, we had gone a long time without these. Now suddenly we're getting all these leaked photos again. You guys seen these, man?
Oh yeah,
we got a whole plethora of them that have come out this past week.
I have never heard anybody say plethora like that. A plethora.
Okay,
he is on Mumble.
Like
so.
A plethora, plethora. Yeah, that's true. He's on Mumble. He could have. It sounded like pleather. You know, plethora. Like plastic plethora. Leather, plethora. The cat suits that you know teenage girls put on at Halloween.
I don't want to talk about this.
Why is
what?
It? I put those on.
Was that inappropriate?
I put those on. Was that? What does that say about
exactly.
me?
I know. I exactly. saw the leaked photos of Garrick in his cat suit. Very topical.
Now.
All right. So earlier in the week, we had suddenly shots of the Millennium Falcon came out, and we want to thank our buddy S. Potter 301U.
Mr. Potter from the
Mr.
UK.
Mr. Potter out in the UK. Yeah.
Well, maybe no relation. We don't know.
I don't know. He's from the UK.
I know, right? They're all related over there.
Yeah.
All
right.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. Anyway, so this was a set of three photos that came out. We've got them posted to our Twitter and Facebook pages if you want to check them out. Of course, this didn't really come through, from what I understand, it really come through like reportable channels. They just kind of hit the web. I'm sure somebody leaked them, and I'm not sure who it was. But
what are we looking at that we can be so sure that these are leaked photos?
Well, here's the only bit of credibility. There's actually I think there's four photos. I think there's two of them looking out of the cockpit. There's one looking at the cockpit door coming in. And then there's actually one that's the Millennium.
Was there like a little blood smear at the bottom of the cockpit door? a little chalk outline, you know,
of a leg.
Of a 72-ish-year-old man. Of a leg. Yeah, just a leg.
Yeah. And then the last one might need a Twitter account. The last one was actually a picture of what some are calling like the corridor of a Star Destroyer, perhaps.
Yes.
The only thing that really, because we don't know if these are pictures from now or if they are pictures from the original trilogies, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that kind of gives this credibility is that there is green screen on one of the shots. And for geeks that really get into this kind of thing, you would know that in the original trilogy, they actually use blue screens.
I was going to say it.
Oh, right. Sorry.
You said geeks, and I sat up. You know, like, I've been summoned.
So yeah. So the original trilogy, they use blue screen. So with this being a green screen, I guess there's some credibility to it. I don't know. Have you guys looked at those pretty close? Some of them look a little suspect to me. They just don't look.
Yeah.
Something doesn't seem right to me.
Here's
I don't
what
know.
I think. Here's.
Hey. Thank you, Gary.
Wait, no, guys, wait. Guys, wait. This might be another dramatic pause before another farting sound. Here's what I think. That's how Garrick rolls.
Well, and I'll just point these out until he gets back on, but one of the shots, actually, it's a green screen. Oh, hey.
Oh, Garrick. C3P Garrick is here. Man,
the green screen shot, actually, from the rear, these look like leather, like brown leather seats. It just doesn't.
Hey! Let me finish my thought. You gotta pay for some upgrades. Garrett,
let me finish my thought because I was rudely disconnected by my computer. Okay, they originally used blue screen, right? And what happens when you put something blue in front of a blue screen?
It gets messed up.
It and disappears.
Whose face is blue?
Ayla Secura.
No.
Yes.
Well, yes. That's not who I was thinking of. Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah, because he would be flying a Millennium Falcon. Yeah, you're right.
He would just fly right in front of it. It should
be all. Remember, the rumor was that Han no longer was in possession of the Millennium Falcon, so which means that it's completely crewed by Chiss. This is flawless logic.
You would just see...
Watertight.
You would just see two disembodied red eyes floating around.
Yeah,
right?
You can't do that. So what you have to do, we have to do
or
green
maybe
screen.
It's Cad Bane. Or maybe it's Cad Bane.
That's true. Hey, why is there a respirator and a hat just, you know, sitting in the middle of nowhere?
So that's confirmed. It's either Cad Bane or Grand Admiral Thrawn.
I don't see why one would be flying and the other one would be the co-pilot.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
That's green screen.
It could be Cad Bane's piloting and Grand Admiral Thrawn sitting right behind him, like admiring like a little sculpture trinket that he picked up at some roadside.
He's like touching the dice with his finger, hitting him.
Yeah, this art. He's poking the dice. Yeah, he's like, you know what this tells me about Corellians? And Cad Bane's like, shut up already. Because Cad Bane sounds like Ned from South Park. So just
of course.
Just give me the money.
So what do you guys think? I mean, overall, I mean, authentic? I mean, is this a real thing?
Looks legit.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm still a little suspect. I'll say that.
You are suspect.
Once JJ brings me out there, I'll tell you for sure.
That's true.
For sure.
Yeah.
By the way, Garrick, you're still not P.T. Barnum or whatever that guy's name was.
D.C.
Barnes.
Something.
But thank you.
I knew it was D.C. Barnes. But I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to say P.T. Barnum.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
You're not him yet.
Someday.
What else is going on rumor-wise?
I want to talk about the Stormtrooper pictures.
I know.
I
was looking through the list, and I'm like, is it on here?
It is, yeah. The day that the Millennium Falcon pictures came out, there was a sketch that was getting shut around, too, that depicted a Stormtrooper helmet. And everybody's like, oh, this is the new Storm Triple Hobbits.
That's actually Peter Jackson just tweeted out a picture of Stormtrooper
Hobbits.
That's
a real short for a Storm
in response to JJ's picture with C-3PO.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know where this picture came from. It looked kind of a little McQuarrie-esque, I guess. I don't know, but I was suspect of it and kind of pretty much passed it off. Well, then suddenly here within the last couple of days, some photos came out and I think it was Indie Revolver was a website that had broken this, found got the picture somehow. And actually these are pictures of physical props and looks pretty legit and look nothing like that sketch.
No, they look one of them looks almost like a direct evolution of the Stormtrooper helmet.
Right.
If you look at the clone trooper helmets as being a little more angular, and the angles in the original Stormtrooper then as an evolution in time are more round and not as sharp. And this one is taking that and almost like taking the Photoshop blur tool. It's further. They're almost completely softened and rounded and streamlined now.
Right.
But still completely evoking the same thing.
I don't remember.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
From the EU, aren't the Chiss heads a little bit more round than other.
I believe the opposite of what you just said is true. I believe the Chiss have high and protruding cheekbones, as a matter of fact. Sorry.
Dang it. There goes that.
Sorry. Yeah. To compliment. So anyway, the
helmets look pretty sleek. By all accounts, these are legit. I mean, this is the real thing. So, yeah.
Well, either that or some really, really, really well done 3D renders.
Right.
That could be.
Yeah. Not likely though.
No, they look really good and really legit.
We actually got three pictures. Two of them are of this helmet that we're talking about. The third one is actually another helmet And some are calling it the evolution of the Snow Trooper helmet.
Oh, really? So, see, Snow Troopers just had the bags over their heads, though. I don't know. We know we have an ice planet scene, or we don't know, but we're relatively, you know, confident we have an ice planet or an ice area. So that would make sense. But I was looking at that, and because of its lack of features, I almost wondered if that could be a zero G trooper.
Oh, okay. Dark Trooper phase zero.
Dark Trooper.
Dark Trooper. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know, man, because I'm looking at it right now too. It doesn't.
Maybe they haven't been painted.
See, when
yet.
I first saw it, it didn't look it didn't evoke snow to me at all.
No, yeah. And it's got like a little bit of like a respirator thingy on it.
Right. Yeah. More of a an EV type, you know, trooper. Yeah. You know, somebody that's in space.
Yeah,
so,
I thought vacuum, like zero G, or like subaquatic kind of thing.
Sure.
Well. Yeah, I just don't know why he has a mullet. Why do they give a stormtrooper a mullet?
Why wouldn't you give a stormtrooper a party in the back?
It looks like a mullet. Yeah, it looks like a stormtrooper mullet.
Why can't a stormtrooper have a party in the back? Sitting there holding a beer. Well, that's what the little port by the mouth is for, just, you know, stuck the brown bottle in there. Makes sense to me. I don't know where you
go. Bottle cap opener.
That's right.
Okay, well, the third one that hit today. Just today, I mean, literally minutes before we came on, these came across my desk.
Came across your desk.
They did.
Mike's personal handwriting intern came in.
They dropped off the mail. I was like, what?
How do I get my interns?
Was it really nicely written from J.J. Abrams?
No, Mike's sitting in. He's sitting in an old wooden chair in his old noir detective's office, and the vacuum tube just the flag kicked up on the vacuum tube. Oh, looks like we've got some correspondence.
All right. So I don't even know if you guys have seen these, because I ended up actually sending this to you guys in a text. I don't know if you guys even had a chance.
I don't
to
read
look
your
at
text.
I certainly haven't, because I drove straight to this
Mike,
podcast.
I read
from
every text you send.
All right. So this is going to be great for you, buddy. Garrick, I know you do. So I knew you'd look. But so this might be a complete surprise to Corey and Howie. So somebody has got pictures of sketches of Harrison Ford's Han Solo costumes.
Yeah, I'm looking at these right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I'm reluctantly reaching into my pocket.
Did you see the comparison of what they're comparing that to?
No,
his one album. They say to Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly. He's wearing the brown trench coat.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to compare Harrison, like Han Solo, to Malcolm Reynolds, because Malcolm Reynolds was so clearly a Han Solo analog.
That's true.
It's like, oh, that looks so like Malcolm Reynolds. I'm like, oh, come on. Malcolm Reynolds was straight up Han Solo on Endor.
But Malcolm actually shot first.
Oh, so did Han.
Made myself sad.
So do these look legit to you guys? Here's one thing I noticed.
They
look
like somebody drew them, yes.
How legit can you get?
It was me.
Thank you, Mr. Smartass. All right.
Holy crap, he looks like Malcolm Reynolds.
Take a look at the second picture of him in his winter gear.
Yeah.
What does that look like to you on his chest?
On his chest, it looks like an Imperial insignia.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm looking at it on my phone, so I can barely see it.
Yeah, he's undercover.
The boots don't match.
Yeah, apparently he's got the boot version of Marty McFly's auto-fitting Nikes from 2015. It's like he slides off his tauntaun and, you know, his boots, moisture set detected, drying.
I guess I'm a little suspect of it, but they look like they could be legit, though. I mean, there's credibility here.
I like the look on his face in the sketch and the snow garb and the cold weather garb. He's got this look in his face like he's holding his blaster out, and he's got a look in his face that looks like he just shot some roadkill and he's getting ready to serve it up for dinner. He's like, you know, he's got like, all right, take the picture. You know,
well, that would be Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But
where are the crutches?
I kind of like the first one in the brown coat, if you will, because it's very casual, but very clean. He looks like he might have just like broken out of the old folks facility, you know, and he's trying to look hip and with it, you know.
Well,
it's not a bad look.
If that is an Imperial insignia on his chest, then that could hold credence to breaking out Luke Skywalker out of some kind of prison.
But you know, as I'm thinking about it, I'm imagining also.
But would he dress like a stormtrooper to do that?
Officers might not dress that way.
Aren't you a little hunched for a stormtrooper?
You don't get it.
Oh, I guess not. Sorry. I still don't get it.
So. I have to remember, though, that.
Oh, I do now. Took a minute. Sorry.
Are you serious?
The Imperial rank insignia that they wore on their vest, I believe there were rebel officers that had something similar. Didn't Crix Maydeen have a very similar red and blue set of squares on his chest or something like that? I'm sitting at a computer, but unfortunately my arms are folded, so they're several inches from the keyboard, and I can't possibly look this up.
Just can't.
I seem to remember, like, even maybe Admiral Akbar on his white suit may have even had to have some similar insignia there. I don't think that's strictly
let's just forego that and not make the distinction between Imperial and Rebel. Let's just comment on the fact that it's military. What does that tell you?
That does, yeah. His snow garb does appear to be military, but who knows? Maybe he just keeps it in the, you know, smuggling compartments underneath the Millennium Falcon.
It's
still there because the Chiss never noticed it.
Blood stripes.
Blood stripes.
So true. When he steals it back from the Chiss, he gets it out.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, I just looked it up. It's
kind of funky.
Admiral Akbar's stuff looks like two little computer mini motherboards on his...
Okay, so he's got little circuit boards on his chest. What about Crix Maydeen? C-R-I-X.
Well, talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, well, Crix
Maydeen. No, I'm just going to stare at you while you Google those things.
I don't know that this really matters, but he's a former Imperial. So
no, I knew you were going to say that, Showboat.
Somebody's finding Dark Forces recently.
I would like to point out that I know that because I busted that guy out of prison in Dark Forces about 1,000 times, my man.
Yeah,
and I saved him.
His is a little gray with maybe a little red in it. So
okay, but not completely dissimilar from what we're kind of seeing in that other picture.
Not completely,
right? So maybe there's sort of a hybridization going on, which I'm cool with. Hey, man,
we verified it. Then.
Even in the now, you know, apocalyptic EU, you know, when the rebellion became the Republic, the New Republic. Right. You know, there was still a lot of Imperial stuff that they'd acquired that they had to figure out how to use. Star Destroyers became like Star Defenders like that. And
might as well repurpose it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, all right, here's the system that works. Let's just use it.
Well, and when you tap it, you can call each other and talk back and forth.
That's right. Two to beam up.
Yep.
Make it so.
Wait.
Engage.
Wait a minute.
What? On. No, that makes sense. Stop. What else is up? Captain Solo, you're caught in the pattern buffer.
Oh,
it's not 30 years later, it's 130 years later.
The Heisenberg compensator has blown out.
I'm not your daughter, I'm your great great granddaughter.
Oh, it looks like Han Solo,
Star Trek
but he has
jokes
a goatee
not
now.
Landing on the Star Wars podcast right now.
Go figure.
How about that? So what is going on? Mike just glazed over. Someone said transporter. I just
like,
my soul
Star
is empty.
Trek, what? All right, moving on.
Please do, yes.
Let's see. Rumors rampant this week on the web that all the brain trusts have been getting together in London this past week.
Forming one big brain.
The master brains.
Kathleen Kennedy, Ryan Johnson. So all the big wigs have gathered together in London and
to perform their
to
rights.
Me, I mean some people found this surprising or like what's going on, you know, blah blah blah. But I guess for me I'm like, okay, isn't the cast and crew on a 2-week vacation? So seems like perfect time to bring all those
together?
People in.
Yeah.
Hey, and
FYI, they're trying to release a movie every year for like the next 10 years. They're going to have to get it. You know,
they're going
to
be doing this.
At some point,
gonna
it's going to be like, hey, guys, you know, are you shooting on Thursday? Not as much. All right, meeting. You know, it's kind of like, can you hand that over to your second unit guy? I guess. And they've got a lot of crap to figure out with what they've got laid out before them.
They are in pre-production for episode 8. Right now. So Ryan Johnson's hard at work. To me, it makes complete sense that they'd be getting together and comparing notes and make sure they're on the same page about things
and you know,
this just in, we have a rumor for the episode 8 intro.
Yes,
following the text crawl, instead of a ship, when the camera pans down, you see you see Harrison Ford's foot. Twirling frozen through space.
I know that foot.
And it's clutching a pair of gold dice.
Now Luke finds it, right? Yeah.
It's clutching a single Sabacc card. Sorry.
I couldn't
resist. No, it's clutching Chewie's paw, which is also clutching. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
I think Mike was just waiting for Garrick to disconnect again that time.
I'm like, it's gotta happen. Garrick's talking, so it's gonna happen.
Anytime now.
As soon as you get ready to give us one of your soliloquies, it's gonna.
Guys.
Oh no! Not only did he get disconnected, but apparently he was being force choked immediately prior. Oh, how he just spit take back into his Mountain Dew bottle. He was just taking a sip and he had to spit it back into the bottle. Oh man, this is a red letter day, y'all. Red letter day.
Good times.
I'm walking on sunshine right now. So, okay, what else is going on?
Continue with rumors. There's been a lot of chatter, and actually there's a website that's kind of did this series of little editorial articles, and kind of the thrust of that has been, what has Luke been doing for the last 30 years? What has Han been doing for the last 30 years? What has Leia been doing? Who has the Falcon? That type of stuff. So people have kind of been exploring.
I think we already answered that last one.
Yeah, we did.
We did? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chiss. Chiss have the Falcon.
The Chiss have the Falcon.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not the Chiss. It's Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Let's start with the Falcon. So, who has the Falcon? Because of course the rumors
right now. I have
so
now, many of the
not
Falcon.
The Chiss.
Oh, you mean? Really?
But the
you don't know that.
The rumor with that we talked about last week, with you know the how the movie is supposed to start, and when the main characters go to seek out Han does not have the Millennium Falcon. He's with Chewie, and they're doing something else. I don't know. So by all accounts, they at least at the beginning of the movie do not start out with a Falcon. So who has the Falcon? Well, the conventional wisdom right now, and it's not the Chiss, Garrick. The conventional wisdom is that that Oscar Isaac, actor Oscar Isaac's character, will have the Falcon. And
really?
Of course, that starts all the conversations again about who is Oscar Isaac in this, you know, in this trilogy? What character does he play?
So he's playing a Chiss?
My money is still on Coruscant Republic City Civil Authority has got it on the impound lot with a boot on it. I think it's unpaid parking tickets.
That sounds right. Yeah.
You know, in fact, we're going to see some clips intermingled from that show where everybody gets mad at the meter maids. You've seen that show.
Oh, yeah.
No, where everybody just constantly walking out of the room. No, I'm right here. I'm right here. I already started the ticket, sir. I'm right here. I can move it right now. I already started writing it. Once I start it, it knows and I can't stop. Man, how do you people sleep? And that's Han Solo.
Thought a death mark was hard to live with. Now he's running into the IRS again. The galactic equivalent of the IRS.
That's
even worse in a hut.
I want to see Han like hanging out in like Cloud City and busting out of a door right as like the repo guys hauling the Falcon away. Sorry, you're behind on your taxes.
So what the conventional wisdom is with Oscar Isaac's character is that he is somehow going to pick up the mantle of Han Solo. Now, does that mean he's Han Solo's son? Does that mean he's an acquaintance? Don't know him at all. Lost, you know, poker buddy. I don't know. That's how he lost the Falcon.
Well, I think this
handwriting intern.
This is Han Solo, like Harrison Ford's playing the future of the past. Han Solo came to the future, and then they have to talk about this guy named Khan.
He comes up and he grabs Harrison Ford by the shoulder, and he's like, "I'm you, but from the past." And wait a minute, why don't I remember this at all? I'm from the past. Don't ask questions. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Abrams is going back to that same will again.
So I don't know, you guys, any thoughts on this? I think in the past we've theorized that, you know, because of course everybody's talking about Daisy Ridley's character. Oh, is this, you know, Han and Leia's daughter? You know, but then when you look at the ages, it's like, okay, you know, Harrison Ford's 72, Daisy Ridley's in her early 20s. You know, would it make sense that like an Oscar Isaac who's in his late 30s could be the son, and then, you know, Daisy Ridley would be the granddaughter, you know, that kind of, so there's kind of all kinds of, you know, thoughts about this.
Wait a minute, go back. How old is he again? 30 what? Who?
He's in Oscar his late Isaac? 30s, I believe.
And how late old 30s. Is Daisy Ridley?
Early 20s.
But she's got a face where she can play younger. Movie magic, man. Movie magic.
They had her when he was 10?
They pull that crap off all the time, man.
It's you're assuming plausible. That Han brought up his son in a good school district, Garrick.
If you want to go that route, I mean, you could call them siblings, too. I mean, I guess there's all kinds of...
Oh, I see.
Well, now all the Adam Driver stuff's coming back about him being Jason now too. So I don't think anybody really knows anything, but
I like those rumors.
Yeah. I've gotten so distant from even hoping for those things.
Yeah.
That it'll be, if I go in and that's what happens, I mean, I've said it before, it'll be like that Superman Returns moment where the opening crawl is directly from the other movies, and I'm just immediately like, for reals? Continuity in a present for me?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably just start peeing all over the floor. It'll be a joy pee, you know.
Any thoughts on this? What would be cool? I mean, to me, it just, I don't know, separating Han and Chewie from the Falcon, that's one of those things that I think, in my opinion, would be a misstep by J.J. Abrams. You know, but
don't question the Abrams.
I'm questioning him, man.
I do believe that you have to really convey the fact that as much time has passed, you do have to break some eggs. You can, with the intention of putting Humpty back together again.
Yeah.
I'm going to mix metaphors all over the place here. You do have to show that time has passed. And when time passes, difficult decisions get made. People change and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it feels weird to separate Han from the Falcon, but I don't feel like it's inexplicable. You know, it could totally be that, Oscar Isaac's character has just been using it because Han has, you know, been serving in some sort of military or authority position. And he's been like, hey, I told you you could borrow it, but if I got to use it, you got to, because that's what he sounds. And so he's like, all right. Shows up, you know, I'll drive the old man around. Then they develop a kinship, you guys.
Or maybe Daisy is Han's daughter and Oscar Isaac is taking her to prom. Han Solo's like, hey, borrow my car, kid. I really like you.
Don't scratch the comm dish.
And that's how it starts.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
that's how it ends, too. It's lovely. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. So, well, speaking of ending, it's probably time to cap off another lovely episode of Fly Casual. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, I cannot encourage you enough, so I'll just keep trying, to follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 and on the Facebook at Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast, where you will see a plethora, not a plethora, which I think actually Godzilla battled plethora at one point. But I'm not sure.
I saw that one. That was a good one.
There was a lot of rubbing sounds. It was a lot of chafing in that Godzilla movie. But
not a good Foley work.
Follow us at, once again, I'll say it again, FlyCasual1138 or Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. But the other thing that we really want you to do, and we're going to beg, we're going to plead, we're going to sound like total wusses, get on your favorite podcast service, iTunes, anything that you're using to find us, and give us a rating. Give us a nice high rating. Blow some wind up our skirts. Give us some delicious gooey praise.
That's what we feed on.
Because what that does is that helps us get more exposure, helps us to grow, and helps us to bring even better, wonderful, meaty content to you guys. And I'm just saying, you know, it's Corey, nice to feel loved.
Arguably, the most important thing you can do is go out and buy Star Wars Insider next month. The month after, indefinitely.
I believe the next issue, and then also September, October.
Yep. Yeah. Just buy a subscription.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You'll thank me. You'll thank us later.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Or you, Garrick.
Yeah. Just specifically, if you would reach out to Garrick at PO Box, I'm a tool.
Hey, don't give that out on air.
Sorry. You should hear his gamer tag. But yes, please get on those and follow Amy. She's great. There's nothing
on Twitter. She's at Amy_geek. You can also find her on the web at amy-ratcliffe.com. And that'll link you up with all of her blogs and Twitters and Facebooks, right, and everything else.
She's not hard to find. You can go to, you can search, if you just Google her with StarWars.com, you'll find a lot of stuff there. And like I said, she's got a lot of great stuff. I love following her on the Nerdist.
Couple of things I want to mention too here, guys, before we take off. We've got, first I want to mention that we've got show notes up now. So go to betterkind.com if you guys want to follow along to the script that we're kind of going by. We've got links there.
Oh, yeah, we are scripted. Oh, brother, are we ever. My word. I flubbed a line earlier, and I had to take five and go outside and just think it out.
Yeah, those disconnects were all scripted.
Yeah, every disconnect was scripted. Yep. That's true.
Totally.
Anyway, if you would like to follow along and you would like to have a quick link to all of the articles and pictures and things that we're talking about,
Absolutely.
Please go to betterkind.com. Go there. You can see the show notes. One other thing, we've also started a YouTube account, and we're going to start posting some stuff on there. So look us up on YouTube as well. And we're kind of cutting out our little shorts and kind of some of the fun stuff that we do. Our interviews, we'll post there. So
Howie, quit cutting off your little shorts.
If you don't have two hours to listen to us, you can go to the YouTube account and get some of the highlights. So,
That's right. That's right. We like to bring you what you want in the form that you want it.
Yes.
So, yeah, whether it be bite size or whether you want to chew off a giant meaty haunch.
Yep.
You know.
And that's what I said. Was like, what's your podcast like? I said, it's a giant meaty haunch.
It's a giant meaty haunch.
There you go. Haunch.
We're going to rename ourselves to the giant meaty haunch.
The giant meaty haunch.
I bet we'll get a lot more listeners.
We could just call
Not
ourselves
the guy we want, probably.
Genitalia haunch would get us a lot more listeners. But
it's all about ending it.
it's sad but true. Thanks everybody though for joining us. We love having you along, and it's only going up from here, folks.
Yep,
and it's already riding high.
Are you high?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I'm high on. I'm high on tonight,
I
Howie.
I bet DC Barnes is high.
Yeah. I'm high on you.
Yeah, I'm high on you
in Colorado.
Too.
Yeah,
and PT Barnum's high as a kite.
Because,
that's true.
You know, Colorado.
Yes, DC Barnes.
Hey, am I right? Hey-o.
Congratulations, DC Barnes. We all hate you.
And congratulations, Colorado, for all the pot. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.